All right.
Are you ready? I'm ready. Let's just do this thing. Okay? Thumbs up, thumbs up. Three S's. Star, smile strong. Episode 172. Write it down. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com and at any platform that you find your favorite podcast on a regular basis, this podcast is there too. So we thank you for your loyalty and your effort, whether you download, click, whatever it is you do to find us. Thank you so much. We will make it worth your effort by providing you quality podcasting entertainment. As I've said many times, this podcast has now been officially, for the good housekeeping seal of podcasting, as termed binge-worthy. If you like what you hear, don't forget, go to WGNplus.com, and you can hear all previous 171 episodes by going to my landing page in the entertainment section, and then hitting the prompt for Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. You will find all 171 previous podcasts, which really mean one thing. Welcome to Podcast 172. And don't forget, on whatever platform you listen to us, don't be afraid to subscribe to that platform, to rate this podcast. And then, of course, by all means, tell a friend. Send them an email, give them a call, send them a link, whatever it is you do to communicate with your friends these days. Pass along the good word if you like Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Then certainly be a friend and share a link. Today we're going to go right to the Pop Culture Club with Emily Arminetti. And so we take a stroll over to the Pop Culture Club. And we talk to regular contributor, Emily Arminetti. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Jim.
Hey. So I thought this week, considering how... I don't know about you. This was a fast summer, wasn't it?
Yes.
Man,
I mean, I don't mind that though.
No, I don't mind it at all. I don't mind summer, but to me, summer is a speed bump to fall.
Right.
That's the way I view it. I am a fan of the fall. I'm not really a fan of the winter.
Is fall your favorite season?
Yes, fall is my favorite season. For a variety of things. First of all, once again, I, as usual, I was a trendsetter. I've been a fan of the pumpkin spice for 40 years.
Right.
But it's just in the last 15 or so, the rest of the world has caught on to the point now where they've ruined it for me. Mm-hmm. But I've always enjoyed the pumpkin and cinnamon spice. In fact, I mean, to me, apple and cinnamon is one of the greatest combinations of all. And, we used to go to a lot of pumpkin patties. We still do. But now even those have become very, commercialized. We used to go when they didn't have any camels there.
Camels?
Yeah, for some reason in the Illinois, Chicago area, for some reason now, they have camels.
Okay, now
camel rides
for kids. Because that's the pumpkin patch that we go to. There is like a little petting zoo, which I'm always great. Where's the hand sanitizer? Oh, I don't need the kids getting any weird diseases because they're feeding goats at the petting zoo. But
of course,
the kids, it's fun. They want to do that. It's fun, and I don't blame them.
Oh, I don't. That's fine. I don't see. And I don't mind a petting zoo, but I was a little taken aback. As I said before,
why does it have to be at the pumpkin patch? That's the thing.
I don't know.
Isn't there enough fun out your pumpkin?
Oh,
I know. That's what we're there for.
Yeah. Well, like I said, when I remember, we used to go to pumpkin patch. I hate to sound like this, but I'm so mad because everything that I used to do that was unique to me has now been completely co-opted and rebranded and ruined, and I can't do anything anymore.
No.
Because
I blame the millennials.
Yeah, oh, I do. Oh, there's no question about that. As I said, you know, I have nothing against millennials. The only thing I have against them is you don't need, you know, what I don't mind is why do you have to take whatever is there and then pretend it's yours?
Right.
Like I said before, Yacht Rock. Okay, Yacht Rock.
I was just going to say, yeah. They took your Yacht Rock.
They took my Yacht Rock, which is basically, which is soft rock from the 70s. That's all it is. And they had to rebrand it and call it Yacht Rock and suddenly make it cool. I'll never forget my godson, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago says, did you ever hear Yacht Rock? And I said, no, what's that? And he said, oh, well, listen to this.
And he's like, and then he put on some Ambrosia.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he put on. He put Ambrosia or Firefall on.
I was just listening to Firefall this morning in the car.
You are the woman that I always dreamed of. And so and so he goes, listen to this. I said, well, that's Firefall. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me like I was crazy. He goes, well, do you know this? I said, do I know it? I said, I have it.
Right.
What do you think I grew up on? I know every song you're going to play. I know every word to every song. Give me a break. You know, then I love, you know, I've got 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds telling me how cool it is to listen to vinyl. Oh, it is? Right. Oh, okay. I wonder who has 500 albums. And the same thing here. So now I had, you know, we used to go every year. There's a couple of pumpkin patches. We still go every so often. Now we don't go as much just because it's become a, you know, it's an Instagrammable moment now.
Yes. For sure. Everything is.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. But now there's no, it's not about going to the pumpkin patch. It's about being at the pumpkin patch and making sure everybody knows that you have been at the pumpkin patch and you did your, you know, your parental thing about, look at what a fun day we had today. And aren't I a great parent because I took my kids to a pumpkin patch. And look at the forced fun we had with our kids. But, you know, it's like, you know, now I love, there's this place, which you may have remembered because you're from the area, you know, you grew up here. Remember a place called Gebert's?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's up in the northwest suburbs here in Chicago around the Schaumburg.
So right around where I grew up.
Yeah, like around Schaumburg, Barrington, you know.
I'm not a Schaumburger, but yes, yeah, suburbs, that's where I
grew up. It's near Barrington, I think. And, you know, that was always, you know, well-known in that area for the big, giant pumpkin water. What is that? Like a water thing? Wasn't there, you know, I don't know what, you know, like, you know, when they were the big water towers, you know, like in the suburbs?
Oh, uh-huh, yeah.
And Gebert's has, like, the big pumpkin on there. That's how that you're getting close to it.
Right.
And we would go there, and they had all this land, and there was all these pumpkins just everywhere. You just kind of roamed free. And then they had a little store where they would sell these amazing apple cider donuts.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. My God. And, you know, very small and unassuming. Had a little store, had a few little things, but they did have these delicious apple cider donuts. And just you pulled in, and people would bring their little Red Flyer wagons.
Uh-huh.
Because you'd put your, you know, your pumpkins in a wagon because you're way out in the field. And it was just a very cool kind of experience. And as time has gone on, you know, and I don't blame them. They're capitalists. They're a business. They want to make as much money as they can. So I get it. But it's really sadly been so. I mean, I still go there if we do decide to go. That's the one I still go to. But it's much more commercialized. The store is huge now.
Uh-huh.
They sell everything. A lot of the stuff is not even, a lot of it used to be like, you know, on the premises kind of stuff, you know, on their, you know, their apples would be from their apples and things like that. And I'm sure some of that, I'm sure the apple cider and the apple cider donuts are still made from their apples, but it just seems like it's much more commercialized and they've got all these little crafts and trinkets and, you know.
I have to be honest. Like, I mean, I love when my kids are having fun. And it's fun to do family stuff like that. And it's, you have to do it every year. You just have to do it and get
it. No, I get it. I have to admit, I totally get it.
That the pumpkin patch is my least favorite day of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to sound like an like an autumn Scrooge. But like, we're there, and you know, first of all, in Austin, it's hot. I mean, so you're out in this on the farm.
Oh, right.
But and it takes an hour and a half to get there.
Oh, does it really? Wow.
I mean, the one that we go to. I've heard there's one that's closer, but I think there's like way longer lines for everything, and so this is the thing. Everything. It's not just like you go
right.
and pick out your pumpkin.
Oh, I know.
You have your apple cider and you leave. There is a bouncy house.
Right.
Which is, you know, the kids like it, but there's a really long line for that. There's a petting zoo, like I said. I'm like, oh, great. Okay, here we go with the, with the animals.
The Perel.
There is a face painting station, which
of course.
Like, no, any kid that sees face painting happening, they're like begging, please, mommy, can I do this? And all I see, I'm like seeing, you know, they're painting one kid's face, and then the next kid gets in the chair, and then they take the same paintbrush.
Oh, that's, oh, I never even, oh, I never thought of that.
Like, you know, and all, you know what? All I see is influenza.
I never.
Like, here we go. Here's how all these kids get the flu.
Oh my God! I never.
They're not washing those brushes. I mean, it's all of this stuff: porta potty,
right?
Like everything. And you know, I mean, seriously, like if you've ever had to take a toddler to a porta potty on like a 95 degree day on a farm.
I never thought. I never thought about the. The brushes, you know, I mean, when I was a kid, we didn't have anything. We didn't have face painting.
Right.
That just wasn't a thing. I think that's happened maybe 25, 30 years ago. I was long past my, you know, my face painting days. I remember that first starting out at kind of like parties, like, at Christmas or birthday parties, I think.
Right,
Yeah, when I first started seeing that when you'd go to like little, your cousin's parties and things like, where did this come from? And now it's certainly just become a whole cottage industry. So yeah, so I never had my, I mean, when I had my face painted, it was for Halloween. That was the only time my face was ever painted.
Right. And you did it yourself.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And your mom did it.
Yeah. You know, and you were an Indian.
With like that bad.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Face paint from like Party City.
Oh yeah. It was terrible. Yeah.
Halloween store.
So I, you know, without having kids, I never went through the whole face painting phase, but wow, I never thought about the brush.
Uh-huh. They are not washing those brushes.
I mean, what's the thing about it?
You're right smack dab.
Right. And don't forget, you're right around the mouth.
Ugh.
And the eye. I'm sure that's where pink eye is coming from.
Oh, I mean, honestly, it's like this is, and I feel bad because like, you know, the fun parts are you pick out the pumpkins, you go on a hayride. Okay, they do have a hayride.
Right, yes. Yep.
And then you do have, they do have like a little thing where you can probably, I think they have ice cream though, because it is hot here.
Do they have the haunted
really
house too?
Like warm apple cider.
How about haunted house? How about haunted house?
Not at the pumpkin patch. That's a whole separate excursion, and I'm happy to do that. That's much better. But this is the thing, like you said, there's so much like superfluous stuff happening now at these pumpkin patches.
Oh, I know.
It's like, you know, it's getting out of control.
Yeah, no. So that used to be
a... And I hope my kids don't listen to this, because they get really excited.
James is going to hear this and go, oh, my God, my mom hates everything we do.
She's the worst mom ever.
She never used to sound that way until she started talking to that guy from Chicago.
I know, but you know what?
Because I validate your terrible thoughts.
Even though, it is my least favorite day of the year...
Right.
I am happy to do it.
Oh, right. No,
I'm happy.
No, it's a part of the thing. But yeah, like I said, so I used to really enjoy that because, you know, even though, I mean, you know, we are so, my wife and I are obviously long past the pumpkin carving, the accepted pumpkin carving age, but yet we always still carve our pumpkins.
Oh,
we still do that.
Nice, though. Yeah. That's the fun part.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, we're still sort of kids at heart, even though it doesn't sound like I am. I still am in many ways. And so, yeah, so that's something that we do enjoy. And like I said, it's not that close. It's not an hour and a half drive, but it isn't. It's still a good 45 minutes for us.
Yeah, I would say for you guys, because I've been to your house.
Yeah, so it's
like
so
I said,
it's
my parents live out.
Yeah,
sort of that, not even as far.
Yeah,
as the place you're talking about.
Yeah, it's still an effort. And so, but we find ourselves, you know, with the fact of. You know, we used to spend some time there just because it was far away enough where you sort of had that country feeling, because back, you know, several years ago, that area was not as developed as it is now. So you had this, even though you were from the city, you didn't drive too far, and you had this sense that you were out in the country, even though
that was all like farmland.
Oh yeah, and now it's all built up, so there's that aspect that's gone. But to your point, now they have everything you just said: the face painting, the bouncy house, the hayride. They even have a haunted house there. That's why I mentioned that.
Yeah, the haunted house, I feel like that's a whole separate.
Yeah, I know, but they have one there. They have one. I don't think it's a great one. Right. But they have one there just for, to fill out to put the check mark,
Right.
As well as the store. And then, of course, the, the pine cutouts that you put your face in and you look like a monster or Scooby-Doo, those things you take a picture in. Yeah. You got to take that. And meanwhile, and so for those of us who just come, for a pumpkin, I can't even find the patch anymore.
Right.
I'm walking.
Where are the pumpkins?
Yeah, I'm walking 25 minutes and I haven't seen one gourd. Where are the gourds? I came here for a gourd. I didn't come here for a face painting or, take a picture with my head in the thing that makes it look like I'm an old lady with her bloomers on or something. Or, as I said now, for some reason, not only petting zoo, but camels.
Mm-hmm. Camels! Yeah, I mean, that sounds really odd to me. Oh, they just have, like, goats at the petting
zoo. I said, there's the traditional Christmas or the traditional Halloween camel.
Right.
So anyway, then you finally get to the thing. And now, once again, I understand if I talked to somebody from this place, they would explain everything they have, and it would make complete sense. I'm not denying or debating that. It's just that for me, who was going there for so many years and more of a purist, I just see how it's gotten more commercialized. I'm sure they would argue to say we're also offering more so that people can really have a fun experience and spend a whole day, which is fine, and also obviously spend some money.
But that's the other thing. I don't want to spend a whole day there.
I know.
Who does want
exactly
to spend a whole day?
I mean, believe me. So we finally find the gourds. And then the worst part is now they give you, I guess you would say, well, why is that worse? They give you a shopping cart, right? There's a big line of metal shopping carts, which, once again, I get it, right?
Right.
But it's not always easy to push the shopping cart out into the patch.
Right. It's not even easy to push a shopping cart in the grocery store.
Exactly. On flat land. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, it's so funny because we drive, and that's why sometimes we don't go there, because we used to make this effort, and it was just kind of like this nice little unique little retreat, and it wasn't overly crowded, but it wasn't, it wasn't a ghost town, but, And now it's just the parking. It's like you're parking, at a concert. You're 500 miles away from the entrance,
right?
Because there's so many people, and you're just in a field somewhere. So you got to walk 500 miles again with your bad metal shopping cart, and then you get in there, and like I said, not a gourd to be found until you're like 15 minutes in. And so we are not gonna do the camel ride. We are not going to do the bouncy house. We are not going to do the face painting. We come there for a gourd.
Right.
So now, with all the rigmarole of the people, and like I said, I hate to sound like an old crab, but, there's a reason why there's that. There's a reason why there's that stereotype. So now we just go right in, find our gourds, throw them in the thing, and get the hell out of there. And then we get in the car, and it's like, okay, why didn't we just go to Walgreens?
Right.
Which is 5 minutes from our house.
You're trying to have a nice
I know, we're day, trying, we're trying, but then when we get there, it's so like in Chicago here once again, a couple weekends ago, it was Labor Day, so they have this thing called Taste of Polonia. Mm-hmm. And I'm, half Polish, and my mom was very active in the Polish community here, and so she would always be working at this Taste of Polonia event. She would always be doing something, taking tickets, whatever. She was super Pole.
Mm-hmm.
And so so we went there to get some, you know, Polish food, you know, some pierogies and some...
Oh, I saw the picture of your kielbasa.
Yeah, and kielbasa and everything. And so, you know, we go there. Well, first, so now, when I remember when my mom used to work this thing for at least, I mean, most of my childhood and adulthood. I mean, I just remember, I didn't used to always go there, but I just remember where's, oh, well, this weekend, Taste of Polonia. Oh, my dad had to drop her off
take the tickets.
Yep, got to be there on Milwaukee and Lawrence. You know, that's Taste of Polonia. Okay, whatever. So it was a small event. You know, it was like in the parking lot of this little Polish area, this Copernicus Center. And now it has once again grown, which is fine, but it's bigger. Uh-huh. It's more crowded. The parking across the street is $20. $20 to park. You know, $10 to get in. We parked, you know, about a mile away on some side street where the people were looking at us. And the best part was, so I don't know how much you remember because you don't really get much snow, but you remember back in the, when you lived here in Chicago where people, when they, and they still do it. Not as much in the suburbs because they don't have to, but in the city you always would see, and you lived in the city for a while. Remember how people would put their, you know, like
the chairs
and stuff in their parking space that they shoveled out.
Do I remember? I lived in Wrigleyville.
Oh, okay,
that was like
the heart
of Saving Spots.
Right. So what's called now? They've given it a name. It's called Dibs.
Oh yeah, Dibs. That's right. I knew that there was a name for it. Now.
Yeah, they call it Dibs. So I had to laugh because everybody in this surrounding area of this Copernicus Center, which is the seat of the Chicago Polish community, which is huge, near Milwaukee and Lawrence, they obviously know that for 4 days over the Labor Day weekend from Thursday to Sunday is Taste of Polonia. And so it's going to be a madhouse, especially over the last, I would say, 10 or 15 years. It's become more of a bigger event. They've got more live music. And they've got just, you know, more restaurants now there with the food. And now everybody's into Polish beer, you know what I mean? Because everybody's into different beers now. So there's a whole thing. So, like I said, if you want to park across the street, it's $20. So, of course, you know, I'm like, I'm not spending $30 before I walk into this place. Mm. So, you know, we park, you know, a mile away maybe on some street. And I had to start laughing. Because it's all just, you know, the regular Chicago neighborhood streets around there. And the people there had all their chairs out.
Oh, no, really?
In front of their house to keep their parking spots.
Oh, man.
So now they're dibsing in the fall, in the summer. It's not just a winter thing that you shoveled out their spot, but they're like, look, I mean, because I don't know if these people have garages or not, you know, in those areas, a small little bungalow belt. And so I had to laugh because the streets right around the area there all had their, you know, wooden horses or their orange cones or their old kitchen chairs.
Yeah, like folding chairs.
People folding chairs like- or full-blown kitchen chairs.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you know, sitting in their parking spots. And I had to laugh. I'm like, oh, my God. They've got dibs up now for Taste of Polonia. So
yeah.
So we go there, and you know, you pay, it's $5 a piece. You walk in, and you go and get in your line for your pierogies and kielbasa, and it was good. But it was really hot. It was really warm. It was in the high 80s, very humid. And then there's just this real, the bands are way too loud. For this space they have, you know, and, you know, and it's just way too loud. And so we literally went in line, got our food, ate it, looked at each other and said, we have to leave, right?
Yeah, we're done.
Here, yeah, we're right? done. And I'm like, okay. So we got there. We were already on the way home within an hour.
Right. Good thing you didn't pay $20 for parking.
Oh, I know. But this is my point about to you, like just like you said, you know, we want to do things and you want to have a nice little experience. I'm like, oh, you know, my gosh, my mom used to work at Taste of Polonia all the time. And, you know, I'm embracing my Polish roots. Let's have some pierogies and kielbasa and the whole thing. And then you get there, and it's just so overrun now. And everywhere there's a stroller knocking into you. And so after we ate, and then in this tent, because it was so hot, you had to eat under the tent, you know, because you had been you'd die. It was so hot. And there was just not enough. There was so little room between the rows of tables. They had no chairs. You just stood. That, like, I felt sorry for this woman at the end, this young woman, because to get out, she just had to constantly move out of the way.
Oh, right.
In order for people to walk out. And then I was like, why don't you get on the other side of me here? At least you have to lean into the table more, but you don't have to keep moving. Oh, that's okay, you know. And then I felt bad because then we finished before them, and I had to ask her to move.
Right, yeah.
And it's the same thing here. So we go to the pumpkin patch, and, you know, oh, we're going to go out to the pumpkin patch, you know. Oh, we're all excited. And then once you get there, you go, we get the gourds, and we look at each other, and we go, we have to leave, right? You know? That's becoming our new phrase now. So we're trying to, you know, maintain some of our own little traditions, but they're getting harder as everybody is discovering how cool we were.
Right.
You know, so
you and the pumpkin patch.
Yeah. So now, yeah, the pumpkin patch I used to like going to, but it's just become such a commercialized thing. Although I have to say, and I'm not even into this so much, but I don't know why I even get a push email. I don't know how they know, but this pumpkin patch sent me maybe it was on Facebook. Somebody didn't send it to me. Maybe I saw it on Facebook. But this Gebert's or Gobert's, however they say the name, you know, because now everybody, like we were talking earlier, has the, you know, the pumpkin spice, mm-hmm. you know, latte and all that stuff. And it's in every food and everything. So now they're not stupid. They've come up with an apple cider latte.
Ugh, that sounds disgusting.
So it has apple cider with...
I don't want anything sweet. I mean, pumpkin is not really... Pumpkin is more savory than sweet. Right. I don't want anything sweet in my latte.
Well, this looked like a... I don't know if it was a latte... Well, I mean, what makes a latte?
Well, a latte is like a shot of espresso... Or two, or however many you want, with milk.
Yeah, well, see, because
a pumpkin spice latte, there's something kind of comforting about it, because it's like, you know, it's kind of milky, but then it does have a little bit of spice.
Right.
But again, pumpkin is more savory. It's not sweet. Apple is like...
Well, this is apple cider, though. This is an apple cider.
Oh, apple cider. Okay. Yeah. But even still, I'm
So I don't know if it's... I would assume that it's warmed.
Yeah.
And because I would, and I'm not even, I like more cold cider than warm. I'm not a warm beverage guy. I've never been there. I mean, that's why I don't drink coffee. I've never really been a warm beverage guy. And if I like my cider, I like it more cold than I think I like it warm. But so they're obviously getting into the, you know, the whole apple spice, you know, thing.
Right.
Now, the cool thing about it, which made it intriguing, but I wouldn't get it still, is that there's not dumb. So in the mug on this picture, it looked pretty good, at least in descriptions, because it says apple cider, you know, whatever they called it. And it's got this nice little tower of whipped cream. And then halfway dunked in the mug is one of their apple cider donuts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's not a bad idea. But, I mean, those apple cider donuts, there have been times when, you know, we will have bought them at the place for, like, there's a dozen of them. Uh-huh. And because it's a 45-minute ride to get home, like, half of them will be gone by the time we get home.
Oh.
Because they're just so
good. That's a lot of donuts.
It is a lot of donuts. But, man, they're so fresh and they're so good.
Right, right. Well, that's the thing about the donuts, too. It's like you kind of have to eat them while they're
exactly,
fresh.
Exactly,
You can't really have them sitting around.
And so, but in the last few years, even when we've gone there, it's like we haven't even gotten the donuts because the lines are so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know. And it's like, whatever, okay, my pumpkin has the pink sticker. That means it's, you know, $20. Let's go. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Once again, I'm sure if it's a kid. But now, so this is it's an interesting, from your standpoint, because when I'm at this thing, I always think that, well, this is a big, you know, family day. And to your point, it is for your kids.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to hear that you're not having a good time.
Great, thanks.
No, because at least I know that I know I'm not having a good time.
Right. No,
but at least
now that I have revealed this to you, when you go, if you go this season, I want you to look around, like really look around at those parents around you, and I guarantee you'll spot the ones who feel like I do. And
oh no!
Exactly having. The
oh, believe me. No, no, I understand because, as I said, I go there now. Not as you know. Really, I don't even feel like I'm a participant. I feel like I'm an observer. Mm-hmm. And so, believe me, I see
constantly checking my watch when we're there. Like,
well, I'm more than that. I see and hear the parents screaming at the kids, so I know they're not having a good time. It's like, right. Hey, get off of that! Hey, yeah. Get over here now. Pick out. We're here to pick. Have fun and pick out a pumpkin. Damn it!
Right, exactly.
So I can get a picture. No, you yeah. can't. No, no, you, no, we're not, we're not, Trevor, we're not going there. Lincoln, we are not going there.
Lincoln.
Oh, believe me. I the reason I say Trevor and Lincoln, because I was recently at the airport on a plane, and believe me, everybody on the plane knew who Trevor and Lincoln were.
Right. I can imagine.
Oh. They first drove me crazy in the Admiral's Club, and then I was happy to see that when I got to the gate, they were waiting there, too. Then I was even more happy to see that when I got there, Trevor's dad was sitting in my seat.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah. And then Trevor's dad said to me, oh. And as I'm approaching my seat, I see Trevor's mom and Lincoln and Trevor. And I see Trevor's dad sitting in my seat. So I know you know what's going to happen here, right?
Oh, they're going to ask you to switch.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so ballsy to go ahead and put yourself in the
seat. Oh, yeah, there wasn't.
The intention of asking, I would never do that. Yeah. I've been in the situation before where I was traveling alone with my two kids, and they had two of us in one row and one of us behind. And, like, neither of my kids are really, truly old enough to sit by themselves. James is, I mean, he could have done it and he would have been right behind us, but I could tell he was really nervous about it.
Oh, definitely.
And,
that's traumatic.
What I told him when we got on the airplane was just sit in the seat that was assigned to you. Cause like I had to sit next to my daughter. I mean, she's a toddler. She's right. Too little, you know, yeah. But I was like, just sit in that seat. So she and I had the window and the middle seat it was the first row. And I think it might've even been premium economy. And then he had the aisle seat in the row behind us. But I told him, just sit there. And when the person who has this seat gets on the plane, mommy will talk to them and I'll see if they're willing to switch. If they don't want to switch, you will be okay. And I'll be right here. But I would never be like, just go ahead and sit there, son. And we'll deal with this when the people get
on. Oh no, they were firmly entrenched.
Yes. Well, they're doing that on purpose so that they're making it harder for you to say, no, sorry.
Oh, of course. And what am I supposed to do? Because I'm here alone. I have my bad carry on. I have no reason. But I mean, so thankfully, at least Mr. Trevor didn't ask me to take, you know, a middle seat somewhere.
Right. Yes.
You know, so I gave him credit for that. It was in the row behind him.
Yes.
You know, so instead of, you know, 10C, which was my seat, it was 11C.
Right.
No, it was 12. No, it was it was 12C.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's no problem. And I said to myself, well, thank God, because who wants to sit next to Trevor and Lincoln and his mom? Right. I already.
Well, I will admit fully that when I was in that situation and I made James sit in his assigned seat until the person got on the plane. By the way, this guy was like the last person on the plane. They were almost closing the door.
Oh, this is great.
This person isn't even making this flight.
Right.
But he was a really nice guy. He was traveling by himself. But I did strategically place my daughter in the middle seat because I thought no one in their right mind can sit next to a toddler.
Of course. Well, that's what I mean. So he was actually, in retrospect, he was doing me a favor.
Right. Yeah. Because and the guy, in my case, when the guy got on the plane, it took him a nanosecond to work out. Because, like I said, he was the last person on the plane. They were about to close the door.
Right.
And before I could even ask him, he said, oh, do y'all want to sit together? And he was right. very nice about yeah. it. And he,
I would have I was already, because I saw it was happening. So I actually I almost, to your, exactly the same kind of thing. I almost started the conversation.
Right.
I said, are you with your family or something like that? And he said, yeah, would you mind? You know, and I said, well, where are you? You know, because I'm like, oh, am I going to be in row 48?
Yeah, you need to know what you're agreeing.
Yeah, I need to know where I'm going. Yeah.
Right.
So if it was, it was from row 10 to row 12, and it was still the aisle. So really, no harm, no foul, right? Who cares?
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you know, the plane crashed and the first 10 rows survived. And from 11 back didn't, then I would have been mad. I would have been dead, but I still would have been mad.
Right.
So I say, okay, no problem. Okay, this now becomes the domino effect. So now I said, oh, no problem. As I'm going back, you know, two seats to 12, the guy sitting on the aisle in seat C12 says, oh, would you mind if you sat in 11C? Because my wife then can sit right across from me.
Oh, God.
Because she's in 11C and I'm, she's in 11D and C and I'm in, you know, I'm across the aisle. So we could be across the aisle from each other.
Right.
I said, whoa. I said, so now everybody's getting on. So I said, okay, nobody move. I did this right in the middle. I said, okay, nobody move. I said, where do you want me to sit?
I think you need to start traveling with Jamie.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I said it in a fun way. I said, okay, nobody move. Where do you want me to sit? And they were laughing.
Yeah.
11C. I said, okay. I said, is everyone set now? I go, is there anyone in the front that wants to change seats?
Anyone sitting right next to the bathroom
And I said, you know, I'm flying to California next week. Any preferences of where you might be sitting?
Right.
And they said, oh, well, thank you. So, you know, sure. So Trevor's dad, they go, I appreciate it. Thank you. And I said, no. I said, no problem. In fact, I said, I was hoping that you were sitting back in row 27 because I only imagine the noise. Well, Trevor did not disappoint.
I'm sure not.
Yeah, Trevor was screaming the whole way. But it wasn't as bad as on my flight to New York, where I had a guy sitting next to me in the middle seat with a cat.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What?
So he had a cat, one of those carriers, right?
Uh-huh.
So now, and I know we're not talking about any, I'm looking at my list here.
Well, you had a good setup for fall, and now on to New York and cats on the plane.
I know. Well, I got to tell you this. Now you got me started.
See?
So I sit down in my aisle seat, and there's another guy, you know, at the window, and to your point, it's like we're almost time. You know, there's not many people coming in. And I'm like, oh, am I going to get lucky here? And we're not going to get a middle person. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you can, like, spread out. You lift up the armchair and just, you know, and just, oh, spread out. It's nice. So I think, I'm like, wow, we lucked out. Well, sure enough, you know, there's seven people walking on and the last seven people, and he comes in, you know.
Right.
So at first,
in the carrier.
So at first, I don't even see that he's got, I thought he had like a, I thought it was a, you know, like a backpack. I really didn't, because I wasn't looking. I just saw that he said, excuse me, and I'm like, oh, geez. So I'm not really paying attention. So then I see him trying to, you know, shove it underneath the seat in the middle. And I didn't know that it was a cat. So I said, well, you want to put it up here?
Oh.
Because I didn't know.
And he's like, what kind of person put a cat in an overhead compartment?
Well, he did kind of give me a look. And then I realized, I'm like, oh, I said, okay. So now he puts the cat under there. Finally, he gets it under there. And he buckles up. And we're almost ready to go. So now, right away, as soon as, like, and I'm not exaggerating, like 2 minutes after, you know, the guy at the window starts sneezing.
Oh, no.
And he's like, you hear him, like his nose is running. And I was thinking, and then this guy is sneezing next to me. And I'm like,
the guy who owns the cat?
Yeah, he's sneezing. And the other guy by the window is, they're both sneezing.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't feel like getting sick, but my God, I'm surrounded by germs here. Plus, there's this cat. Who knows where this thing has been?
Right.
And I'm a cat owner. So,
and you're even a cat person.
Yeah, I'm a cat person and cat owner. And I'm still like, you know. And so now this cat is just, it's worse than Trevor. It is meowing so loud that people are like standing up, like looking like, because they, I don't think a lot of people didn't even know this guy brought the cat on, you know. Uh-huh. But now you can't help but hear it. And so, of course, you know, when the plane speeds up and starts its initial ascent, you know, that it's got to be disorienting for the cat. So they're even more crazy, like, what's going on, you know?
Right, yeah.
So now, of course, he takes it out of the carrier.
Oh, no.
To comfort it.
Oh, geez.
And the cat's afraid, and, you know, and it's meowing, and he's grabbing it. So then he calls for the stewardess. And he says, can I have a blanket? You know, because what I think
for
he wanted,
the cat.
Yeah, I think he wanted to roll the cat up in the blanket. Because uh-huh. a lot of times that does make them a little more, feel a little more secure. Plus, it might have been easier for him to hold the cat uh-huh. in the blanket so it's not crawling around him and potentially get away. You know what she says? No blankets in economy.
I'm not surprised.
But I mean, even in this, I understand the rule. But, you know, it's, you know, but he's got a cat.
Right. I mean, there is a situation. And you're, yes, I see what you mean. There's a situation here.
Right. I understand the rule.
And she could just go grab a blanket.
Yeah, she could easily, there's no one using blankets anymore. Right. And, you know, because of the whole, you know, weird germaphobe stuff. So they're sitting there anyway. And this guy isn't using it for his own comfort. He's actually going to do us a favor because if this cat isn't calm, it's going to be meowing the whole time.
Right.
So you're going to do yourself a favor by breaking your stupid little rule, which is ridiculous anyway, and give him a blanket. But she, sure enough, she did not give him a blanket. So now this cat is just meowing so loud throughout the. So about halfway through, I don't know what happened. Because he's got him in it, he keeps taking him in and out. So finally, he gets up with the cat in the, you know, in the carrier, and goes back somewhere. So I thought maybe he's going to go to the bathroom or something. Well, I don't know where are you going. I mean, where is he going? It's not like there's a lounge. There's no kennel.
The last place you want to be, I would think, with a cat is in one of those airplane bathrooms.
Well, I just can't figure out where he's going.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't look. And so he was gone. It was a short flight. It was just to New York. So, but he was gone for about a good hour.
Wow.
To the point where, you know, and I don't know where he went. I don't know if he was just maybe he was just in the aisle in the back, like holding the cat.
Well, maybe, you know, because you know how sometimes when people have babies on planes,
yeah.
they get up and they walk around.
That's what I mean. Maybe he was doing that.
The jump seat.
Yeah. Maybe he was doing that.
Maybe.
So anyway, but he left in such a hurry because the cat was just really getting crazy that he had left like his pop and water, you know, on his tray and left. So now we're ready to land. And so the waitress who wouldn't give him the blanket.
Flight attendant.
Yeah. What did I say?
Well, first of all, you didn't even say stewardess. Now
I said
waitress. You know she's there for your safety, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Then her skirt wouldn't be that tight. So, anyway.
The flight attendant.
The flight attendant. The flight attendant comes over, the same one who wouldn't give him the blanket. And she's ready to pick up all your final garbage, you know?
Yeah.
And she said, and I said, well, I said, I don't know what he looked at this, you know, he's got like a laboratory on this cart, on this tray just sitting there. And I said, you know, I don't know if he's coming back or what he's doing. I said, you know, he's the guy with the cat. And she said, oh, yeah. She said, well, I've got to take this anyway. So, you know, she took it. So when, you know, I helped clear it off and the guy at the window did, and then we, you know, we put the tray table up. And so the guy at the window says, I said, well, is he coming back? You know, and the guy says, I don't know. He says, but man, he said, you know, I'm so glad he took that cat away. He said, I'm allergic.
Oh, God.
And that's why I couldn't breathe.
That's a nice guy not to say anything.
Oh, I know.
Because
I even said, you know, they sort of came on. They didn't come on right next to one another, but they were kind of close. And initially, they were talking to one another. So I didn't know if they were together. And I said, oh, I said, well, I didn't know if you were with him. He goes, no, no. I couldn't even breathe. And I said, well, you know, as that cat was underneath the thing at the beginning, I said, I thought you had the cold or something initially. I said, but I was thinking about what if you are deathly allergic to a cat?
Yeah.
And you're going to be on a flight. I mean, this was a short flight, but still, it's an hour and a half. What if you, I mean, what if you're to the point where you are, you just cannot take that?
Well, I mean, the guy said he almost couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking about that in general, because now, you know, they're allowed, I don't know if you saw this, there's a news story recently that there was a mini horse. There was a service horse on a plane.
Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
Like a mini, those mini horses, like little Sebastian.
I don't even know. I can't even.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know, I mean, now everybody, I'm seeing more dogs on planes now. You know, those service dogs.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen.
No, I've seen quite. I've seen quite a few, and now with this
cat
thing.
See, now I'm going to jinx myself. I have to touch wood because I think the next flight I'm going to be on is to Italy, and I really don't want to be sitting next to a dog on a flight that long.
Yeah, so I was like, but you know, it's fine if you want to carry these, and I know you don't want to keep these animals in storage and blah blah blah. But what I mean, talk about. I mean, I know they want to be a, you know, everybody wants to, you know, to accommodate the passenger today, because you know everybody's got their own problems, but at the same time, you know, you have to think of the greater good here,
right?
And I mean, if you are allergic to the cat, like this guy obviously, I mean, it was within minutes that he was just sneezing. I could hear his nose running, you know.
Yeah.
So I really, I don't know what was worse. I mean, at least from my standpoint, thankfully, after, you know, about a half hour, the guy left, like I said. So it could have been worse.
Right.
So ultimately, I don't know if the cat was worse than Trevor and Lincoln. But both ways was an interesting, thank God it was an early, you know, a quick flight.
Yes, yeah.
Because, you know, there's some times when you're on a plane that's for, you know, a longer flight. I told the story when I went to Amsterdam this summer. A guy was sleeping on my shoulder.
Oh, that's the worst.
I mean, he was, and I'm not joking.
Like,
he was,
don't get in my space.
He was sleeping on my shoulder. And it's, you know, and here's another one. He asked me initially, because he was with a group. He was a young guy. He may have been in his late teens, early 20s, and he was on a group that you could see that the group was all in the middle section.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not sitting in no middle section to fly to Amsterdam.
Right.
I got my window seat, and I'm staying there. Right. I usually like an aisle seat, but when I'm on a long flight, I take the window because I don't even want to have the people who all have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
So I have to get up. Because my bladder, when I tell my bladder to shut down... For 12, we flew 14 hours to Australia, and I did not go to the bathroom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I did not go to the bathroom. I did not get out of my seat for 14
hours. That is amazing.
Yeah. So I don't know. I have this magical ability.
God, I wish I had that.
To shut off my bladder. But
I cannot.
Then, of course, I went for 3 days straight.
Airplane bathrooms.
I went for 3 days straight when I came off the plane. I just stood there. I missed my Uber and everything.
Spent half your visit to Australia yeah. in the bathroom.
But, yeah, I mean, it was just, so I always, so this guy, says, you know, because I've got a group there. I said, it was the same thing. I said, well, where's this, where, who do you want me to switch with? And he points to this woman, this girl, whatever, sitting in the middle. I said, you know, sorry, but it's too long of a flight. I can't sit in the middle, you know.
Yeah.
And then when I real, and then you know, the best part is you could see he wanted, he, you know, he's like, you know, I'm with my group, you know. And I said, well, I appreciate that. And I said, but, you know, sorry. Well, here's the best part. He wanted to be with his group, right? Mm-hmm. He fell asleep before the plane took off.
Right. So what does it matter?
It didn't matter at all. He, and I can't believe it. This guy slept for 8.5 hours. He slept from before the plane took off till about 20 minutes before we landed. He was in a deep sleep, and he,
with his head on your shoulder.
With, well, he was the most restless sleeper I ever saw in my life.
Oh.
He was on my shoulder, and then I don't know if he was having like night terrors. He was just, or if he was sleepwalk. I don't. He was lifting up and lifting down the armrest between us
in his sleep.
Yeah. And then he would switch over to the middle, and then he'd be back on my, and you know what? I wouldn't mind if he was on my shoulder. He was kind of almost on my chest. Yeah. To the point where the guy on the aisle is looking at me and laughing.
Yeah.
Until, of course, the best part, he went over to that side for a while and did the same thing to that guy.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, now who's laughing, smartass? Yeah, so, ugh. Once again, I used to fly on planes. It was fun. I need my own plane now.
Yeah, good luck
with
that.
I need my own pumpkin patch.
And your own plane.
And my own plane. I need my own everything. I'm going to go buy about 40 pumpkins and just put them in my yard. I'm going to go on Amazon, order 40 pumpkins, have them delivered overnight,
mm-hmm.
put them in my yard. Wake up and go, oh, look.
Have Jamie swing by the Starbucks.
Yeah, go get a latte. Go get a pumpkin spice latte.
Pumpkin spice latte.
And spend the day with my gourds. But anyway, so let's see. You know what? We don't really have time to really do this.
Oh, geez.
I don't want to fly through this, but I was glad to hear. I mean, I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm actually glad to hear that you don't have fun at the pumpkin patch.
Oh, well, I'm so glad to hear that you take pleasure in my pain.
Well, no, because what's interesting is that I understand, like you said, you're a good parent in that you realize that this is a fun experience for the kid.
Yeah, I have to bite the bullet.
So you bite the bullet, but it is good to know. My point is, I really believe that when I see the parents at this thing, they are trying to convince themselves that they're having a good time.
Yeah.
So I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm actually glad to say that you're being honest.
Right.
And you're not being fake to say, oh, no, it's fun.
No, I never pretend like it's
Yeah. fun. I'm glad that you're saying, look, as a parent, I'm doing this as a sacrifice. My kids love it. It's an experience. Hopefully, it's a nice memory that they'll have. But I can't say I'm enjoying it because there's a lot of craziness. But that's what I do as a parent. And that's basically what you do as a parent every day.
Yes.
Now, this is an interesting, I mean, and I say this, this is mostly in jest, but you know, in every joke, there's a grain of honesty. In the course of a day, I'm just, and if you don't want to answer this, that's fine. But I just, okay. I'm not around parents all that much. So, you know, and you're always very honest. In the course of a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
With all the things you do with your kids, whether it's in the summer when they're around more and you're dropping them off at different things or taking them to different things. I would assume now when the school is back, it's a little less hectic.
Yes. Which is why I'm glad summer is over.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. There was a time when before you had kids when you liked the summer, I would assume.
Oh, right. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So let's pretend in this, like, let's pretend it's July 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's the alarm rings, right?
Uh-huh.
And another day begins. First of all,
I have to tell you right off the bat, I like that you think that it's an alarm that wakes me up. It's actually two little kids who just get up way too early wake me up.
And do they physically wake you up, or do you just hear them?
Oh yeah, they're like, I get this little tap on my arm.
Oh, you do?
I set my alarm, but I very rarely make it to the alarm. Okay, so let's just have that be the
Oh, so they do physically wake you up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does one wake you up before the other, or do they come in tandem?
You know, usually it's my daughter, because she'll like come running up and jump in bed with us.
Oh.
But occasionally my son, like he did it once. It might have been very early in the summer where he was tapping. It was either summer or it was like on a weekend. And he was up and he was tapping me and he's like, Mommy, we have to get ready. And it was like one of those things where I was like, you don't have school today. Like, why are you waking me up at 6 o'clock in the morning? Like, we don't actually have to be anywhere.
And where did he think? And where did he think he had to go?
And it was one of these miraculous days where my daughter, like, had stayed in her bed. And then, so if it's not one, it's the other.
Well, where did he think he had to go that day?
I think he thought it was like a school day. I don't know. He like lost track. I can't remember if it was because it was like very early in the summer or if it was a weekend.
But so there is no time. There are a few times when you wake up first, huh?
Very few.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, let's say it's a weird, like where we have like a super early flight we have to get, and then I'm the first one up, and I like to be ready to go before I have to get the kids out of bed. And in cases like that, sometimes the kids, we just have them travel in their pajamas. Like, I'm talking like if we have to get up at like 4 a.m. to catch like a super early flight.
Yeah.
But other than that, no, they're very early risers.
Yeah.
That's the thing about kids.
But so let's pretend that now you're up.
Yeah.
And your day has begun.
Uh-huh.
Now, what time do they go to sleep?
Usually like 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So let's say from 6 a.m.
Actually, to be honest with you, when James was my daughter's age, his bedtime was much earlier, but this is the problem with older siblings. Like, so he's old enough now that his bedtime is 8 o'clock, but now she wants to be up, you know, so it's really hard to enforce an earlier bedtime with the younger siblings.
Right, right.
Anyway, but 8 o'clock is...
All right, so let's say from 6 o'clock in the morning till 8 at night.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got about 14 hours there.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those 14 hours in that day that you are interacting with your kids, now, once again, this may sound like a harsh question, and you don't have to answer it, but it'd be interesting to hear your answer. Out of the 14 hours, how many would you say are fun?
Right. this is the thing about my children are, you know, they're the joy of my life. And, you know, they become, once you have them, they become the center of your universe.
And they should.
And yeah. And there is so much joy in that, but it's a fleeting, you know, it's like, there are moments of joy. It's not like, wow, we just had an hour of just the most amazing fun.
Right.
You know, it's a lot. I mean, it's mostly, it's mostly work, but that's the gig.
Right.
They're having fun.
Right.
Which is nice.
No. And I think once again, I'm glad you say that.
So
because
it's hard to quantify. I mean, I would just say it's like, it's in those moments, but that's the thing. When the moments happen, they really are I don't know. I mean, I'm going to sound like any other parent.
No.
But it's so worth it. That's the thing.
Yeah. No, and
it's
that's
so
great.
Worth all of the rest of the, the work.
So if you added up all those fleeting ones, say we have about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard.
No, I'm just joking. Okay. So
I hope it's more than 15 minutes in 15.
But let's just
hours,
say 1345 is work.
Well, because also you have to realize too that in a day, in an average day, like let's say in the middle of July when the kids aren't in school,
right,
like so much of a parent's time, if you are there on, you're the one that's there caring for the child, whether it's the mother or the father, so much of your time is also doing very tedious things, like you're preparing meals, you're doing dishes, you're doing laundry. You're not, it's not like you're spending 15 hours doing something super fun with your kids or playing right. games all the whole time, you know, and there's a lot of time they have to play with each other, or they have to, you know, have some like independent play time because there's other stuff that has to get done, or you're shuttling them around. You're taking them to this practice right. or that practice. You're driving a car. So you're kind of like the parenting moments, like when you're actually spending that time dedicated to parenting, then yeah, I mean, you get these fleeting moments, but the rest of it can be very tedious because it's like, you're not just the parent, you're the maid, you're the Uber driver, you're right. the, you know, you're the chef,
right.
you're the, like you have a lot, you wear a lot of hats.
Well, I'm, and but my point is,
stuff takes up part of the day.
Well, and, but my point is, you see that, but see what I've always, you know, maintained. And once again, I appreciate you sharing that, and I appreciate your honesty, because people that are, there's so many people that to that answer to that question, they would have said 14 hours.
Yeah. Well, so, but this is the thing. I do wonder if someday I'll look back and think, oh, I should have appreciated it more when I was in the moment, when my kids were,
but
young.
My point is, it's impossible because because you, no, because my point is, no, I think because what all, I think what you will do is you will savor those fleeting moments, because the fact of the matter thing, yeah. is everybody, and I've always maintained this, everybody wants to have a baby, right?
Right.
I don't think everybody wants to have a child.
Right.
And there's a difference there. Everybody who can't want a baby, they're the cutest right. things on earth.
They're cute. They can't even really go anywhere.
Yeah,
they can't
but move, there is a major responsibility and a major lifelong commitment to you. Like you said, hey, it's a job. It's an effort. That's yeah. the gig. That term right there tells me that you have you have it in the complete correct perspective. Because so many people will just give this Pollyanna answer, and it's not real, and they're trying to convince themselves. And that gets to my point earlier about our parents convincing themselves they're having a good time at the pumpkin patch, because they feel that they have to,
right?
As opposed yeah. to saying, you know what? No, I'm not. You know, I'm going to have this kid, and this is a much, you know, sadly. You know, this is, in many ways, a thankless job. And you do work for those fleeting moments.
Yeah.
And they're not always there. And they're not there in abundance. And they may not be there every day. But that's fine. That's part of it. And, you know, and I remember, you know, talking to my mom, especially, you know, when I was getting older and things like that, and you know, she, you know, I was an only child, so I mean, you know, she was, you know, sent her world, talk about her world centered, you know, on me.
Yeah.
But I said, as I got older, and even when we got married, you know, I mean, you know, and we didn't live that far away, but it's like, you know, we're forging our lives together now, and you know, and stuff like that, and you know, she was saying, oh, you don't call, you know, blah, blah. And I said, you know, or you're not doing this. Or remember even when we were planning our wedding, oh, you know, I'm not getting a chance to. And I said, look, you know, the thankless job of a parent. And once again, as I said, if you had decided to have a kid, I think it's a very, you know, it's a great thing that you do. I probably chose not to do it for selfish reasons. I'll be the first to admit that. It's a thankless,
well, it's not for everyone. Not everyone wants to,
right.
you know, have.
And
kids,
it's a, and but my point is, it's a, it, in many ways, it's a thankless job. In that, if you have done, in my view, if you have done a very good job as a parent, ironically, and as much as it tears at your heart, that if you've done a good job, when all is said and done, that means your kid really doesn't need you.
Right.
Because you have done a good job, that you have made, you have molded a self-sufficient person who could get through their lives on their own. And that is your job as a parent. Your job as a parent, I believe, is to create this life and nurture it, but ultimately prepare it for life without you.
Right, of course.
I mean, look at the animal kingdom. You know, the most of the time, the parents, and it's not even the father, he's off. You know, after he does his initial job, he's pretty much done.
Right.
And the mother nurtures it and shows the cubs how to hunt. Say if it's a lion or something, or the mother shows the basics, and then that little baby is gone. And mom even says, good luck to you. I showed you all I could show you.
Yes, but what you have to realize is that sometimes your parents need you when you're grown, you know?
Oh, there's no question. That's fine. And at the end of the day, my parents did need me. And my mom lived with us for 3 years before she passed away. And my dad, you know, I had to make sure that he was cared for. Believe me, it comes full circle.
Yeah.
But my point is, if you've done a good job, your kids don't have to call you 10 times a day. And don't need to be dependent on you. So the irony is, the better job you do, perhaps, at least for a good portion of their middle of their lives, they might not be hanging around and calling you every 10 minutes to say, Mommy, what should I do? Daddy, what should I do? Because you've raised a self-sufficient person.
Right.
And good for you. I know emotionally that's hard to, you know, to take, the separation anxiety, I get that, but then it's not fair to the kid to demand that they spend time with you. I know you know, as you're old.
Well, I mean, we'll see. I can totally see myself as an empty nester, like chasing down my kids and being like, I don't hear from you. Come over.
Well,
let's have dinner. Because I think it's like, you know, it is really like you go for so long with your whole world revolving around them. And then I can see how when I look at, you know, I mean, believe it or not, I have friends who are almost empty nesters. You know, I mean, I had kids later, but I have friends who had kids in their 20s. And I just think, gosh, that's so wild. Like, I couldn't imagine. I don't even know. It's hard for me to remember, like, what my husband and I did with our time before we had kids. I mean, I'm seriously like, it wasn't even just taking care of the kids. It was, like, everything else that comes along with it. Like, the constant stream of, like, dishes and laundry and blah, blah, blah. Like, I feel like, oh, my gosh. We did do a lot of fun stuff, you know. So we had a lot of time to do that. And we didn't realize at the time how much time we had on our hands.
Right, exactly.
But then when you come out the other end, now that you've had this experience, I think it would be so weird to deal with the peace and the quiet and not having that much to do anymore. And, you know, not that you don't ever have anything you have to do, but I just think because your life becomes so, you become so immersed in this whole, you know, world of being a parent, like it's got to be weird then.
Oh, there's no question.
You're not like, you know, you're not, and you don't even see your kids that much, or they don't call you enough, or you know.
But my point, yeah, well, that, like I said, that's the thankless part of it. That's my point.
Yes,
that,
for sure.
But I would just caution you, and once again, I'm just saying this as a person who's not a parent, but I can tell you as a kid that, you know, just like you said, that's part of the gig. Then I would say the same thing to you about that other part.
Yeah, well, see, great. That's great. So I have that to look forward to.
You know, because for instance, like I said, when we were putting our wedding together, you know, I was like, you know what? I said, you know, to me, Mom, I said, what I would love to do at the end of the day, when our wedding day is over and all of this planning is finished, and hopefully it all goes, as an example, and it all goes without a hitch. You know what I mean? And everything goes just the way it should. I said, my goal would be for you to sit back and say, wow, look what they did. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and because that, to me, that's a reflection on you, on her.
Mm-hmm.
You raise somebody that was able to do this. I'm not discounting your input, but at the same time, you know, as a child, as a human, I'm also exerting my own independence. And that's a part of being a mature grown-up, as well as, hopefully, you know, a productive part of society, because that's what we're doing. As a parent, you're basically, your responsibility is to raise a productive member of society. Because we've seen, when parents don't do a good job, how destructive it can be.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that more and more today. So, yeah, believe me, it's not easy. And there's no right answer or wrong answer. But I think at the very least, I wish that more parents would be more honest and more realistic about what really goes. This is a, to your point, like you said, this is a lifelong commitment. It's not just, oh, I'm going to have a baby. I get to buy some really cool little small shoes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's when they come home at 35 and ask you a question too.
All right.
You know. So yeah, I mean, and some people I don't think really think about the enormity and the long term and the constant, to your point, like you said, the constant shifting of emotions and of responsibilities, because every year it changes, you know, the way you have to deal with your kid 5 years ago than you did today.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be different 5 years from now.
Oh, for sure. It's funny because when I talk to people who have, you know, like teenagers, like they'll say, you know, it's like when you're standing in Target and your kid's having a, you know, like a tantrum.
Right.
And they say, like, oh, it's okay. I've been there. It won't always be like this.
Right.
And then, you know, they say, like, that they, you know, if you talk to people who have teenagers, they'll say, you know, it's still challenging. Don't get me wrong. But it's just a different set of challenges.
Well,
you know,
because,
it's just challenging in a different way.
Well, then the teenage.
That's true. You just have to, like.
Yeah.
You just,
well, and then don't forget, the teenage years, you'll be hoping and wishing they would want you and talk to you more.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Because that's when they're going to be first exerting their independence.
Yes.
And that's going to be so weird. You, right now, you are, like, to your point, there's going to come a point where you're going to realize, they didn't wake me up today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As much as you complain about, oh my God. First of all, you assume that I get an alarm.
Yes.
Well, I got news for you.
And that's the thing, too, though, about kids is, like, you know, there are certain stages, and especially when they're young, you know, where, like, when they're babies, they're easier in some ways but harder in other ways, like the sleep deprivation because they're waking up in the night and they need to feed and all this stuff. And then they get a little bit older, but then they're, like, you know, toddlers and they're still getting up in the middle of the night and waking you up if they're scared or, you know, they're having tantrums or whatever. And so so for me, like, I'm always conscious that I don't want to, like, you think to yourself, like, oh, if we could just get to the next stage, then things will be a little more manageable.
No, because no.
Especially when you're in any kind of sleep deprivation phase of parenting. But then I'm, like, really careful because I don't want to wish it away.
Well, this is my point. There's going to come a point when, right now, you, oh my God, here they are tapping on my arm. But in about 2 or 3 years, they're not going to be tapping on your arm, and you're going to miss that.
Yes, it's true.
Because they're gonna get up in the morning and make their own cereal.
I know, right? I know. It's already, well, we're not that far
from right. No, but my point is, and they're not going to even think about waking you up.
Yeah.
And you're going to go, oh, wait a minute, it's 8 o'clock. Why am I still sleeping? And they're already dressed and playing video games or coloring books, and they've already eaten their breakfast. They're going to go, what the hell happened here? But my point is, that's the other. Then you have to look at that and say, okay, now what is my role now? But here's my point again. To what I'm saying is, you know what? When that happens, and they get up, and they get dressed, and they make their own cereal, you know, you get the gold star for that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you don't realize it, because you're gonna emotionally react, maybe.
Right.
But if in those moments, and I'm not saying this is easy, and I once again I could say this because I'm not involved in it, but at the same time I think I can maybe offer some objective views of this. If you can take a step back at those moments and say, oh, look at that. Not what didn't they do. Like, why didn't they wake me up and be sad about that? Look and say, look what they did do.
Yeah.
Wow, they got up, they made their breakfast, and they're occupying themselves. That's due to you too.
Now, if I can just get them to do their own laundry, that would be the big payoff. The biggest payoff of all. Do your own dishes and do your own laundry.
I'll tell you though, at the end of the day, it does come down to that, because I you know, I do a lot of the things around here, but I'll tell you, the washing and drying machine, it's like NASA. it looks like Mission Control. There's a million dials. Some dials you push, other ones you pull out, which seems completely crazy to me. And then you know, I always hear these horror stories of, oh my gosh, the shirt shrunk. Ugh. Or oh my gosh, you know, there's the clothes got spotted, you know, with bleach or whatever that happened. So I'm always like, I'll do everything around the house, but I cannot. So to the point where sometimes Jamie will, you know, she'll throw the clothes in the washer, right? Because isn't that the knob that you pull out?
Well, it depends on what kind of.
Yeah, well, I think ours you pull out.
Depends on what kind of machine you have.
Yeah, there's all these dials and everything. But she'll actually set the dryer and have the door open. So all I have to do is take the clothes out of the washer.
Right. Okay, so you just have to close the door.
And just close the door and press the button. So she'll set everything up.
Yeah.
You know, because I just am like, I don't know how to do it.
Right.
And I'm sure I could figure it out. But
yeah, but I would definitely say when it comes to laundry, you want the person who knows what they're doing.
That's what I say. Laundry. That's what I say.
Yeah.
All I know is, up to this point, you've done a good job at that. So why, you know, we found the right person.
Right. But then again, what I'll say about the kids' stuff is I don't want anyone doing my laundry, because I don't want anyone ruining my stuff.
Right.
But the kids, when they can do their own laundry, right, that's cool. That's good for me. Yeah.
Well, as I said, as I look at my script here, there's nothing about pumpkin latte, pumpkin patches, doing laundry, raising kids, or flying on planes. Nothing is on that list.
No.
But we will next week, I promise, because this summer is done and this is September. And within the next week or so, new shows will be coming on. Mm-hmm. And so Emily and I have made a list. And so what we will do next week, I promise, right off the bat, I will don't. If you hear me straying.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to it.
You just say,
Yeah.
We have to get, because within the next couple of weeks, a lot of these shows will be coming on. So it'll be good to talk about those. Yeah. And I am looking forward to seeing some new ones, saying goodbye to some old shows, and saying hello once again to some of my favorites. So I promise next week.
Fall without a fall TV preview, so you know we have to. Yeah, we have to get it in,
but we'll be fine by next week.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Emily, thank you so much, and we will talk to you again. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted wherever it is you find your favorite podcasts. Just go there and download or click or scroll, whatever it is you do to find us on a regular basis. Your loyalty is much appreciated. And don't forget, when you're on whatever platform you find us. Don't be afraid to subscribe to that, to rate us, and to spread the word and tell your friends. Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. I'm Jim Toronto. I'm here on business. I'm only here for fun. This has been Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen.